Well, welcome to another edition of Small Company Big Image Podcast. In today's show, my partner Cynthia has a conversation with Lynn White, who's with Velocity Partners and also with the Velocity Academy. And Lynn's going to be talking about an area that's near and dear to her heart. That's the area of sales and sales process. And she's going to talk about some things that gives any company that's a small company the ability to look like they have a big image by the way that they use and view their sales organization and how effective their sales organization is. The intro music and the music that's going to end the show is once again from Thievery Corporation and their song DC3000. So hope you enjoy the music, and I also hope you enjoy the podcast, and I'll catch you on the other side.
Hello everyone, this is Cynthia Trevino, and welcome to another edition of Small Company Big Image, our podcasting sessions. At Small Company Big Image, we're about finding, winning, and keeping profitable customers, hot topics for businesses. So, most businesses, when they're about finding and keeping customers, the starting point is sales. So today we're talking with Lynn White, who's a colleague of ours, and Lynn has a lot of experience in sales, so we're happy to have her today to talk about what her firm, Velocity Academy, is all about. Hi, Lynn. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks. Glad to be here.
So tell us about Velocity Academy.
Love to. So the Velocity Academy is a professional management and training company, and what we're focused on is really transforming the world's listening of sales. And what we mean by that is we really want to get people powerful and free in any selling situation that they're in, whether you're somebody who's selling a product or a service, and that could be up to a vice president in a company, or somebody who's purchasing something. And the way that we do that is we have workshops, which are about an hour and a half, and those are designed typically for vice presidents and above. We also have classes that run about 4 hours, and they're typically designed for directors and above. And then we have seminars that run 1 to 3 days, which are really for any person that's interested in learning about a particular acceleration technique. And that is our focus, sales and business acceleration techniques.
The transforming the listening of sales.
Yeah.
That is really interesting. How did you stumble upon that explanation?
Well, you know, I do a lot of self-development and came across an entity that focuses in transformation and just the process of transforming, and really got present to how people get so stressed out in selling situations, from the sales rep that's in your company that's just thinking about picking up that phone call and scheduling that appointment, how stressed out and anxiety that's around that person gets.
Oh, all of us. Fear everywhere.
Yeah. And even going to clients, and when you're, you know, or prospects, and you're going to their office to introduce your products or your services, there's just so much anxiety. And then the prospect sitting across from you wondering what you're up to and what your hidden agenda is, and oh my gosh, are they going to get me today? So I find a lot of humor in it, because, you know, if you can't laugh at it, it's going to drive you crazy, right? So really being a source of causing a transformation in how we all view that, because really it's just two people sitting down for a conversation about something. So really, we're just up to bringing that anxiety out of the conversation.
I like that approach, the listening of sales. So Lynn, sounds like you're doing some really exciting things at Velocity Academy, and I know you, so I know you've got a lot of experience in the sales area. Tell us a little bit about your own background.
Love to. Well, I've been selling for about 20 years. I started off my career in technology as a programmer, decided being behind the computer was not my ticket, and quickly got involved in selling, and I've worked my way up from being a sales associate, actually, up to executive vice president. I've worked for large companies like Fannie Mae and Geico Insurance Company, and I've also worked for quite a few of the smaller startups here in town in San Diego. I've also done quite a few speaking engagements around town, as well as attended about 110 sales seminars, and really try to keep current on all the different selling techniques that are out there and grab the most important pieces for whatever a particular client might need. So just a really powerful position to be in and have access to those resources. I'm also a guest speaker on different radio shows, and been a teacher at the Learning Annex on cold calling, and recipient of several awards, and I have a degree in mathematical statistics, which everybody always cringes when they hear that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you have a personality.
Really?
Yeah. And I have a master's degree in management marketing.
That's really fascinating. And so now with Velocity Academy, let's talk a little bit about maybe we're going to say companies of all sizes are going to have problems with sales. So I think that's a given, no matter whether you're doing a few million or lots of million, or you're trying to get to one of those spaces, people are going to have trouble, problems achieving revenue goals. So for the company that raises their hand and says, okay, we're there, we're having trouble meeting our revenue targets, what are the typical, give us three examples of the typical things you find when you start working with a company?
That's a great question. Yeah, consistently, whether you're at 5 million, 10 million, 500 million, whether you're a new company, there's these three areas that we always see pop up. And the first area that we encounter is when we go into a company, we'll say, let's take a look at your financial position. We'll say, what is your revenue goal? And then we'll ask to see what we call is a product revenue model. And this is a monthly account of how many products you're going to sell or services, the actual number of units and the revenue that you expect to see for each one of those items across months 1 through 12. That's going to equal up to the revenue goal that you've come up with.
Product revenue model.
Correct. And companies always have some variation of this, but it's not quite exactly what we train people on and the value of it and how you use it to run your businesses. So the other thing that's unique about the product revenue model, it's built for there and then, where you're going. It's not built for where you are now. And a lot of companies will have it be a kind of a snapshot of where they are, how many products or services they sold last month or the same time last year. And we really encourage people not to do that. It is about, if you're at $5 million now and you want to be at $10 million, you want to build your product revenue model to achieve the $10 million, because you might find out in that product mix that $10 million isn't achievable. You might find out that you've been shooting too low and you need to be at $15 million. So it's a really key, very key component to the overall operations of the business and how the business is going to sustain itself or it create its own demise.
That's interesting. So it sounds like the product revenue model is a roadmap for getting from where you are today to where you want to be with your sales targets, your sales goals, and your sales objectives for the company as a whole.
Exactly. And it's very specific. Like I have a company right now that I'm working with who says, oh, we have a product revenue model, and they have 138 products listed on their product revenue model. When I start diving into it, they really don't have 138 products. They have about 16 products, but they record them with different SKU numbers and cause a lot of heartache for themselves and misinterpretation of what's really going on in the business in terms of their product sales.
Well, that's great. So it sounds like this product revenue model helps them really get clarity around the specifics, where they really need to go to meet the number.
Mm-hmm. And what the vision is they're trying to achieve and whether or not they're going to achieve it. And unfortunately, they found out that where they are is not going to get them there.
That's great. Oh, so tell us about another common problem you encounter.
Well, the second thing that pops up most often, especially after we look at the product revenue model, is the staged sales process. And before I talk about that, let me just back up and give a little insight here. So when we go into most companies, we say, okay, let's look at your sales strategy, your sales process, and your sales team. And we'll say, what is the approach or sales process that your team is using to acquire customers? And we'll find out that typically there isn't one. Or that everybody is up to some version of their own interpretation of what a sales process is. Or we'll find that there's something there that's too intensive, having 10, 15 steps. So what we do is we look at that those main stages that you're going to go through with a potential lead from the time they come in the door to the time that you close them. So we work to create, like I just mentioned, the stage process where we're going to have key milestones for each stage that you want the sales rep to complete with a potential customer or a prospect before they move to the next stage. And the reason you want to have that's going to ensure that people aren't wasting time with unqualified leads. It's going to ensure that sales reps don't get too far down into the sales process and lose opportunities because they never asked the right questions back at the beginning. So it provides a lot of structure that ensures that the sales process, the time to close the deal is managed, the costs associated with closing the deal are managed, and that you're driving the right sales behaviors. And the other thing I would add about this is it really begins to set an image to the outside world. Is with a structured sales process, a staged sales process, the people you're calling on begin to hear from you consistently. They begin to hear from you with the same types of messaging or messaging that builds on top of each other. So you start to create this image of your company outside your doors, and it is a stepping stone for when you actually get the business, the customer service that they can expect from you.
I like that. That we're about small company, big image, so it sounds like this is a great way, following a structured stage sales process, that a company can make itself look maybe bigger than it is, or as big as it wants to grow in to be, right?
No, absolutely. We very frequently will have sales teams of two or three people, and people will think that the company is enormous, and it's really not. It's just extremely efficient.
So what is the typical reaction? I can imagine clearly managers and owners of the business are really focused in on reducing the price to acquire a customer. It sounds like this sales process also helps shorten the sales cycle. But what about the actual selling reps? What is their typical reaction?
You know, actually, it's very favorable. There's a little resistance after they started using it because, let me just go with the favorable part first. because it gives them a step-by-step way to deal with their day and how to manage their day. And it also puts kind of some expectations around when they may or may not hear back from a customer and what they're up to. So they have this plan, like step one is this, step two is this, this will take 3 days, this will take 6 days. So it begins to take a lot of the anxiety of not knowing out of selling, and it begins to give them some structure and methodology that they can follow. And you'll find that most salespeople, true salespeople, like process. They're very logical, logically driven. So it begins to alleviate that anxiety. And it also helps identify areas where they could use some training that would make them more effective so that they can sell more. And anytime you can put more money in a salesperson's pocket, they're usually pretty happy. Now to my other point, there's a time when there's just a little resistance because the structure can feel like it's too much structure. But we just work with them to get through that behavioral shift, and they always are very, very excited to be using it.
And it sounds like that's a really a great skill, because it's something that in this age of trying to find, in addition to everything else business owners and executives need to do, they want to find and retain really good people. So it sounds like it's also helping the sales rep to improve their own personal portfolio, their own personal skills as well, that they can take with them when they move on.
Absolutely.
Very good. So tell us about the next most common problem you encounter.
Well, that would be the sales compensation models, and this is definitely the most comprehensive and complex area. And the one thing that we find is most people, and I'll generalize for purposes of illustration here, but most companies we go into put a blindfold on their head and they throw a dart at a dartboard and say, okay, our new revenue goal is this number. And then they'll also do the same thing with respect to compensating salespeople. They'll just decide, okay, well, if they sell this many dollars, we'll pay them this much. And there's really no reasoning or methodology behind that. So what we come in and do is we look at their sales structure, compensation structure they currently have, and we look at that product model, and we start to bring them into alignment with each other so that we really determine if you're trying to go from $5 to $10 million and the current product mix you're using, how many people does it really take, number one? Because we'll find that most organizations are too heavy on their salespeople, but they'll be running around saying, we don't have enough salespeople.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I would have absolutely thought it was the other way. So your finding is that typically people have more salespeople than they need to
Yes.
meet their specific goals. Interesting.
Absolutely. And it gets surfaced when you look at the product revenue model in conjunction with the sales compensation structure they're using. And when you start to build those so that they're in alignment together, so that you know how many reps you need, how much of each product they're going to sell, is it really doable? And like we go down to the level of telling them how many phone calls they'll need to make and how many deals they'll have to make and what the average deal size is going to be, so that we can really determine whether or not that's going to take two people or three people. And then the compensation payout is in alignment with the product revenue model. So now we're creating a more profitable company, and we're also setting up structures that really incent and drive the proper sales behavior from the sales team. Because every selling situation, every company that's selling a product has just a slightly different twist in terms of how they operate internally and who they're selling to that needs to be accounted for in the sales compensation models.
So it sounds like this is a three-legged stool, the three things, the typical problems that you encounter being, number one, the product revenue model isn't there that tells people exactly how to get to their goal.
Correct.
In terms of which products and how many of each. Then the second piece is the stage sales process, which helps the actual salesperson focus. It's a sales process for that specific company, for that specific set of products and or services that they're selling. Right. And then the third leg of the stool is the right compensation model in order to drive all the right behavior. So this is a three-legged stool.
Correct. It's a great illustration.
Now, these are examples in the Velocity Academy. You actually have sessions where folks come in and they do a session for about 90 minutes, if I remember correctly.
For the workshops, correct.
The workshops. And then when they walk away, they walk away with a model that's unique to their company.
Yeah. So the really important distinction to get about the Velocity Academy is we're a training company, we're not an education company. And the distinction is an education company or people that are educating really are providing general information, and a training company is actually causing or creating an actionable skill in the participant. So in the academy, we only cover a single specific technique, acceleration technique, and I gave you some examples a few minutes ago. And we ensure that you leave the workshop knowing how to use that. So we'll teach you the concept, we'll apply it through exercises or whatever other techniques that we use, so that you're using it in the workshop and having the guidance of a very senior individual. And then you will be able to take that and go into your job and apply it and be able to really accelerate your sales.
That's exciting. That's what makes the Velocity Academy different than a lot of seminar sessions. So I'm assuming that the folks that attend the Velocity Academy sessions can be either selling to consumers or businesses. These processes apply across all.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Academy actually is going to be moving more into the consumer market in our next year. Right now we're just focused on the business area, so it does apply to all.
And what kind of feedback do you typically get from your participants at the end of a Velocity Academy session?
Well, so far it's been really positive. We have an evaluation form that has 5 quick questions on it, and one of the most important questions to me as the founder is, did you learn what we advertised? So whatever we're putting out there for a training, did you get that skill? And we have a scale of 1 to 5, and we're usually getting a 4 or 5 on that scale, so that's really exciting. And we're also getting some really great topics that people would like to learn more about, and we're just encouraging people to be very specific with your request, because we're not a company who's doing general training. We're only doing very unique things that people that have been out in business for 15, 20, 25, 30 years know how to do and have developed on their own. And the only way you would get access to those people is if you hired them into your company. So we're providing you access to this resource in a confined area where you can actually apply it. So it's a really powerful environment.
So yeah, that it sounds very powerful, because it's an exercise. You walk in, you learn the specific skill, and you walk out with your own specific process and plan that you can take back to your office, back to your business, and put to work immediately.
Yeah, and the other thing I just want to stress is that the sales and business acceleration techniques we teach are across all functions inside of a business. So we have PR, marketing, product, technology, so there's something inside of that whole realm, and we just mix that up every month and try to give a different flavor of all of them.
Excellent. Sounds good. So my last question, Lynn, if somebody wants to get it, somebody who's listening to our podcast today wants to get in touch with you, how do they reach you?
Well, this is the favorite part. You can reach us on the web at www.thevelocityacademy.com. And I'll just spell that out for everyone. So it's thevelocityacademy.com. And we're right now just putting together our fall schedule of events, which will be up in about 2 weeks. So you can visit our website. You'll learn more about the company. There's also an opportunity to join as a free member. And all that does is just put you into our database so that you'll get our announcements of the events that are coming up. And if you're interested in being a volunteer speaker, there's an opportunity to fill out a profile on there as well. Or you can contact me directly if you'd like at 619-297-3031.
Great, Lynn. Thanks so much. Lynn White, our guest today from Velocity Academy, and also at the Small Company Big Image blog, we'll have reach information for Lynn as well. It was great talking with you, Lynn. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Andrew, for being here.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and also hope you were able to pick up a couple things from Lynn, very knowledgeable person in the area of sales. And for any of you out there that are looking at putting in a new sales plan or looking at a compensation plan or maybe just starting up a business and you want to make it look like it's a bigger business than it is, I think Lynn covered some pretty interesting topics. Remember, if you want to get contact information from Lynn, Cynthia is putting a blog post associated with this podcast up to have the contact information. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be putting up some podcasts and blogs, looking at things like Web 2.0 and the kinds of tools and things that are being associated with Web 2.0 filtering into the rest of the business, and how it's being tied together with word of mouth marketing to give a small company an even bigger image. So until then, you take care.